الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب، الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، يقول الله في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. The first of our salawat in honor of Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The second in honor of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. The third with your loudest voices in honor of the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala alihi. May I request the brothers at the back to come as close to the front as they can. Please just come in a bit closer if you don't mind. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Just a little bit closer. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala alihi. Respected scholars, brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In last night's lecture, we concluded that the first revelation of the Holy Quran was on the 27th of Rajab, and that in the 40th year of his life, the Holy Prophet moved from being a prophet of God to being the messenger of God. We concluded that the first verses of the Holy Quran to be revealed was Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Therefore, that rose a question, for then we discussed how exactly these verses were revealed to the Holy Prophet. And we showed that there were two different opinions as to that first revelation. The first opinion, as narrated by Imams Bukhari and Muslim, was of a prophet who was hysterical, a prophet who had an epileptic seizure, a prophet who was insane or felt that he was driven by insanity when the revelation came to him. The second opinion, which we showed from the school of Ahlul Bayt, was that yes, without a doubt, this was a heavy message, but not a message he was not expecting. It was definitely a message which he knew was going to come to him, but rather he was waiting for the directives from his Lord. We asked the question yesterday, which begins tonight's analysis, that who would concoct such a story about their prophet? As in, who would come forward and make up a story about their prophet being a man affected by hysteria or a seizure? As in, surely me and you would never ever want to paint our prophet with this image. There are millions of Muslims around the world who listen to this. And when they listen to it, you ask them, that can you really be someone who has certainty in a prophet who, when the first revelation comes to him, is in a state of hysteria? Because I would never trust that prophet with the rest of the revelation. If he's scared of Jibreel, not just scared of him, if he doesn't have a good relationship with Jibreel, not just a bad relationship, if he needs a Christian cousin of Khadija to verify his prophethood, then really the foundation of the religion of Islam is a broken, that is, building that is broken. Yet you find what? You find the question arises, that who is it that would concoct such a story? On the first level, the first answer would be that such a story may come from a group of traditions known as Israeliyat. Israeliyat, what does this mean? There were certain rabbis and priests who joined the religion of Islam. People like Ka'b al-Ahbar or people like Tamim al-Dari, when they joined the religion of Islam, they started to bring in a lot of the myths of the Bible and the Torah into Islamic tradition. The scholars of hadith would label these traditions Israelites. Why? The children of Israel and their traditions. You start bringing those traditions into the world of hadith. Suddenly the biblical Nuh becomes a Quranic Nuh. The biblical Dawood becomes a Quranic Dawood. Dawood commits adultery in the Bible. There's no way he's committing adultery in the Quran. There is a way you can make that story come into hadith, can't you? Nuh is a drunkard in the Bible. He's no way a drunkard in the Quran. There's a way you can make him a drunkard in hadith. That category of ahadith were known as Isra'iliyat. Those rabbis and those priests, when they joined the religion of Islam, many assumed, mashallah, they have reverted to the religion. Yet there was an aim to try and spill the poison into the religion as well. Amongst the poison was what? How do we lower from the status of the man who bought this religion? If I was a Christian, or if I was Jewish, I don't want Muhammad's name to be the highest name. I want Moses' name to be highest. I want Jesus' name to be highest. The moment they recognized the Prophet had achieved what achieved, they started making up stories to try and degrade from his character. The problem is, Ka'b al-Ahbar, Tamim al-Dari, Wahab ibn al-Munabbah, these are huge personalities in tradition. Many did not believe that they would do such a thing. Whereas in the school of Ahlul Bayt, we firmly believe that these were amongst the people who would bring in traditions to try and lower from the status of the Prophet. Not just them. Another opinion as to how this story came about the seizure of the Prophet, is that what? Is that the caliphs, after the Prophet died, they would pay certain traditionalists to lower from the status of the Prophet, so that if a caliph makes a mistake, he can turn around and say, well, Muhammad was also affected. Because Bani Umayyah and Bani Abbas knew, how do you protect the mistakes of Muawiyah? How do you cover the mistakes of Harun al-Rashid? You make sure that you depict the Holy Prophet as a man who is a man who's prone to error, so that if Muawiyah ever makes a mistake, you turn around and say, well, Muhammad made mistakes. What's wrong with Muawiyah making mistakes? What began was a whole school of traditionalists where they would make sure that the Holy Prophet's character was degraded. And ironically, on this tradition about the Prophet being affected by a seizure, ironically, do you know who the chain of the traditionists are? It's from Zuhri, from Urwa, from Aisha. Aisha narrates that when Jibreel brought the message, Rasulullah was affected by a seizure. What would be the problem of Aisha narrating this tradition? She wasn't born at the time. Aisha wasn't born at the time. Rasulullah is 40 years of age, correct? Do we agree? Was Aisha in the world yet or no? If we give the benefit of the benefit of the benefit of the doubt, we'll say that she was a couple of years old, but Aisha wasn't one at the time. Someone will turn around and say, yes, but she heard from Rasulullah. What she hears from Rasulullah, inshallah, is between her and her Lord. But to me, when you say, Aisha said, Rasulullah, this is what happened to him, Aisha wasn't alive at the time. Therefore, why would I take your hadith in Bukhari or in Muslim from a lady who was -4 or -5 at the time, if you know what I mean? So what you have is that when you come to this tradition, what did we conclude? That the Holy Prophet was not a person affected by seizure or by Satan. These are all myths concocted to lower from his status. And you know what the saddest thing is? Rasulullah needs to go to a Christian to verify whether he is a prophet of God. Then we might as well become Christians, not Muslims. As in, if a Christian called Waraqa bin Nawfal tells the Holy Prophet that you're a prophet of God on the 27th of Rajab, then you wonder, Christianity might as well be the religion that we follow. Rasulullah didn't need to go to anyone to know that he is a prophet of God. He knew that he was a prophet of God while Adam is between water and clay. He rather was waiting for the sign from Allah. And Allah says to him, لا تحرك به لسانك ولا تعجل به. Don't move your tongue and recite until we tell you when to recite. When Jibreel told him, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, اقرأ, on the 27th of Rajab, that's when he began. Question, what do you mean 27th of Rajab? If it's the 27th of Rajab, then why do I read every year, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن? How many of us from a young age were brought up being told, شهر رمضان is the month of the Quran, correct or no? How many of us in this hall had even assumed that Shahr Ramadan came down to the Holy Prophet and there was no such thing as 27th of Rajab. As in, if you went to many Muslim communities today, you ask them, 27th of Rajab, what do you do? They say, we celebrate the Mi'raj, correct or no? 27th of Rajab in our mosques is the night of Mi'raj. If you were to ask someone, but why don't we celebrate the first day of the prophethood of the Prophet? Many will turn around and say, hold on a minute, I didn't really know it was the first day. If you were to tell them, okay, how about the first verses of the Quran? So I thought the first verses of the Quran was Shahr Ramadan. Because in the Quran, Shahr Ramadan, الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ is a clear verse. The month of Ramadan, when the Quran was what? Was revealed, was descended. Another ayah, they say, hold on a minute. You're trying to tell me that Shahr Ramadan isn't the month of the Quran. Then how about the verse? إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. We sent it down on the night of Qadr. Said Ammar, you're telling me 27th of Rajab, but it's saying Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil Qadr. Even further than that, what three surahs do we recite on the night of Qadr? Rum, Ankabut, and what's the third? Nukha. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin Mubaraka. Someone here who's giving me this court case has got a very good court case. He'll say to me that on the 27th of Rajab, you said to me, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. But the Quran is saying, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنُ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. Is there a contradiction or is there not? Even that person who comes with the court case, I think he's got another great file to play at court. What is it? We have a tradition from our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. We have a tradition from our Prophet where he says, the suhuf of Ibrahim were revealed on the first of Ramadan. And the Torah of Musa was revealed on the sixth of Ramadan. And the Zabur of Dawood was revealed on the 12th of Ramadan. And the Injil of Isa was revealed on the 18th of Ramadan. And the Quran of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam. And the Quran was revealed on the 24th of Ramadan. So someone says, Sayyid Ammar, wait here, wait one second. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah. إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. Now I have a hadith which says صحف إبراهيم first and Torah 6th and the Zabur 12th and the Injil 18th and the Quran on the 24th. So where are you getting this idea that 27th Rajab? This is the debate known as the debate between Inzal and Tanzil. This debate is one of the most important debates concerning the Qur'an. The difference between the inzal of the Qur'an and the tanzil of the Qur'an. And whenever I mention the word inzal, I want you to imagine something coming down. What do they call the one coming down? Horizontal or vertical? Vertical, mashallah. Vertical is the one coming down, horizontal is the one going across, correct? The debate between scholars about 27th Rajab and Laylatul Qadr is the horizontal vertical debate. Why? Because that debate, people started saying what? They started saying that I think there's a contradiction. If the Holy Prophet became a prophet on the 27th of Rajab and Iqra came to him, then how is it the Quran says Shahr Ramadan? What does that mean? Because now we agree. Something has definitely happened in Shahr Ramadan. Do you agree or no? Something is definitely descended in Shahr Ramadan. We can't reject that. There's no one who can turn around and say, no, you can't say that. No, the Quran says something in Zalnao fi Laylatul Qadr. Something has come down. But what has come down is what I'd like to examine tonight. Because many have asked the question, what came down in Laylatul Qadr that was different from what came down on the 27th of Rajab? A point here before I continue as a disclaimer. Someone may turn around and say, said, Ammar, does this really affect me as in me knowing 27th of Rajab versus Shah Ramadan? Oh, without a doubt. If it was my book, you don't need to know about it. And if it was your mom's book, don't worry about it. And if it's your granddad's book, don't worry about it. But when it's Allah's book, make sure you learn everything about it. Because when it comes to the Day of Judgment, when this Quran speaks, don't turn around to the Quran on the Day of Judgment and say, too many technicalities in this book, you know. I just needed to ponder over it. No, you don't need to worry about these things. These things you need to think of the Day of Judgment. When you think about this Day of Judgment, then inshallah that 12th Imam returns, and then when we say Shariq al-Quran, people know what the meaning is of Shariq al-Quran, inshallah, because he doesn't seem like he wants to return for anyone at the moment. So, let's go into the discussion. Number one, what was revealed on the night of Qadr? Number two, not only what was revealed on the night of Qadr, was it the whole physical Quran that was given to him on the night of Qadr, or something different? Number three, what's the benefits of gradual revelation rather than giving the Quran as one whole book on the same day? And number four, how important was it that the Muslims knew verse by verse as it was revealed in order that they didn't forget the status of those loved by Rasulullah? Let's examine this and seek to dissect the topic in depth. We said, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. The first opinion was that what came down on Laylatul Qadr was the whole Quran in its physical form to the Holy Prophet. What do I mean? That first opinion is that Jibreel came to him on the night of Qadr and he gave him a book with 6,500 verses. You know the book we have today with us at home? That book, Jibreel came down on Laylatul Qadr and he said to him, "Hey Muhammad, as the Quran says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. So we have given you this whole Quran on the night of Qadr." This is one opinion. Why? Because scholars said that Allah says we sent the Quran. So surely that could mean that the whole Quran that is with us today, Allah gave it to the Prophet Muhammad, but not to give to anyone else. He gave it to him so that if the Prophet Muhammad needs to refer to it at home, the whole Quran is with him there and then. We reject this opinion. Why? We say firstly, when the Quran says شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن, the holy month of Ramadan when the Quran descends, the Quran in this meaning, in this verse, doesn't refer to a book with chapters and verses and pages and diacritics and so on. The word Quran, had it been شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه الكتاب, then you could imagine that what's been sent down was what? What's been sent down was a whole book, and it was given to the Prophet Muhammad on the night of Qadr. It didn't say شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه الكتاب. It's a شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. Quran at that time did not refer to a book with chapters and pages and so on. No. The Quran at that time referred to something that you recite, something that you have access to, A, no doubt, B, that you're meant to recite. These are the properties of the Quran. Therefore, that first opinion, A, that the Quran as a physical book came down to the Prophet Muhammad on the night of Qadr, was one which is rejected. Because that group, what do they say? Yes, 27th of Rajab, Iqra begun. 23rd of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the book as one whole physical manuscript, whereas 27th Rajab was the gradual revelation beginning. We reject that first, because the word Quran in this context is not kitab. Secondly, if he gave the Holy Prophet Muhammad the whole Quran on the night of Qadr, there are certain events which are mentioned in that Quran in the future tense, correct? Where they speak, which are to happen in the future, which speak in the past tense. If the Holy Prophet takes this Quran on the night of Qadr, then he shows it to his people. He shows them to read that verse straight away. Many of his people will turn around and say, "Hold on a minute, what's this verse talking about? We gave you victory in Badr when you were a small number." Imagine, on the night of Qadr, they give Rasulullah the whole Quran. Rasulullah takes the whole Quran, he gives it to his people. He's like, "Everyone here, here's the whole Quran, read it." If you were living at the time, it's, for example, the 29th of Ramadan, correct? You're living there, Rasulullah gives you this Quran, you open it. When you open it, you read Surah 3, verse 1-3, وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّةٌ. Allah gave you victory at Badr while you were a small number. Would that verse relate to you at all? Why wouldn't it relate to you? You'll be like, what's Badr? I'm in Mecca. I've never even heard there's a town called Badr or there's an area called Badr. Why is Muhammad giving me a book with a verse which doesn't relate to me at all? If Rasulullah is given a physical book on that day to show his people that on the night of Qadr, Jibreel brought me this Quran, when his people open Surah 3 verse 1-3, they're like, "Can we ask you a question? What's Badr and why were we a small number?" You know, sometimes when you think of the film Back to the Future, and you're looking ahead and you're like thinking to yourself, hold on a minute, we're going to go to a place called Badr where a small number, Ya Rasulullah, this verse doesn't, I don't relate to it at all. Furthermore, if there's another verse, إن لا تنصره فقد نصره الله إذا أخرجه الذين كفروا ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار. If you cannot help him, Allah will help him. Yes? إن لا تنصره فقد نصره الله. When the disbelievers sent him out and he was one of the two, the second of the two in the cave. If I read this verse in that Quran on the night of Qadr, Rasulullah has this physical book. I read it, I'm like, Ya Rasulullah, what's this that you're in a cave with someone else and Allah's helped you? Rasulullah would turn around to me if that was the scenario we played. He'll say, yes, yes, there'll be a day I'll be in a cave and the disbelievers, will I be able to relate to it at all or no? I'll be looking at it thinking, Ya Rasulullah, you okay? As in, you're telling me about this incident here. Not to say the Quran won't discuss future issues. No, there are certain verses which may. But if the whole Quran is given on the night of Qadr in the physical form for Rasulullah to give to his people as a guidance, his people will turn around and say, this is not a guidance for us at all. It's not helping us in any way whatsoever. Further than that, point number three, the kuffar themselves were asking, why doesn't Muhammad have a book that comes down in one go? If you go to read Surah 25, verse number 32 of the Quran, قال الذين كفروا لولا نزل عليه القرآن جملة واحدة. Why didn't this Quran come down to him in just one whole way? The kuffar would come to the Prophet Muhammad and they'd say to him, why don't you just give this whole book in one way? In other words, you find that this was a query which many of the kuffar were asking. Many of the disbelievers were asking, that's what? لولا نزل عليه القرآن جملة واحدة. Allah replies by saying, no. كَذَٰلِكَ لُنِثَبِّتْ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. And then what? وَرَتَّلْنَاهُ تَرْتِيلًا. We did not send it down in one go for you to have it physically and to give out to the people, because we wanted to strengthen your heart with a gradual revelation. What does it mean, strengthen your heart with a gradual revelation? If I just give you the whole Quran to give to them in one go, then you will not know whether they've been inspired by it, whether they've been affected by it. Whereas if it comes in stages, you'll see one by one become affected by it. When it's gradual, you'll see people be able to change step by step. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore rejected this idea that on the night of Qadr, the whole Quran came in the physical form to the Holy Prophet. That idea was rejected. Then point number two. So what happened on the night of Qadr? The Quran didn't come down in the physical form to the Prophet. The Quran came down to the heart of Rasulullah so that he could access it at any time he wants. This is the point. 27th of Rajab, Jibreel comes to me and gives me verses step by step. Shahar Ramadan, Allah infuses the whole Quran into my heart. When we say Shahar Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran, it doesn't mean the Quran I have physically. It means from Bayt al-Izza, from Kitab Maknoon to Bayt al-Izza, to who? To the Bayt al-Ma'mur, which is the heart of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala. On the night of Qadr, it wasn't a physical Quran. The night of Qadr, when it says, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil Qadr, laylatil Qadr, doesn't mean that the Quran came down on the night of Qadr. It means the whole of the Quran was revealed to his heart. Question, was the whole of the Quran revealed to his heart as it is today, chapter, verse? No. The whole general knowledge of the Quran was in his heart. Whenever he'd need access to it, if Jibreel recites it, it would come out from his heart because of what was infused to him on the night of Qadr. Because we have the belief, Shaykh al-Saduq, what does he say? Shaykh al-Saduq says, from the Bayt al-Izza to the Bayt al-Ma'mur. The Bayt al-Ma'mur, sometimes you read in the traditions, Bayt al-Ma'mur, Bayt al-Izza. The Bayt al-Ma'mur is the heart of Rasulullah. On the night of Qadr, the heart of Rasulullah took the whole of the Quran in. Whenever therefore he needed to access it, the verses would flow from his mouth without any mistakes in those verses whatsoever. Now that it's been infused in his heart, it's as if I put like a chip in the heart of Rasulullah. Yes? Whenever he needs access to an ayah, that chip has saved all the files. Whenever you ask a question, the file emerges, it opens straight away, and that chip is accessed. Therefore, in our communities for many years, when you ask people, when was the Quran?